Even before this year's flood, for sale signs had multiplied along the wide suburban streets that snake through Mendenhall Valley on the way to Elizabeth Figgis's house. She's the climate researcher who we heard from in episode one, her home flooded in 2023 and 2024, before the river rushed through her home again on August 13, 2025. She was already reckoning with the reality that she might have to leave. Just a few weeks before this most recent flood, she sat at her kitchen table with a stack of manila folders filled with flood insurance claims.
When you sit in this upstairs of our house, and yeah, it's a little 2x4 wall, foggy old windows, stick house, but you're just surrounded by the woods. There's birds prancing along on the porch and singing. It's almost like in the movie It's a Wonderful Life, our crappy little perfect place.
Figgis wanted nothing more than to spend the rest of her life here. But now she feels like she's treading water.
There is not really a viable future here.
She lives at ground zero for glacial outburst floods. The temporary levee built to protect most neighborhoods in the valley doesn't extend to her street, View Drive, the one that dead ends into the river. The homes here are practically guaranteed to flood again and again.
Our street needs to have direction from the city about whether we are a flood sacrifice zone or whether we will get some kind of barrier or if there's a plan for us to do managed retreat from this street.
Managed retreat. That's where the government buys hazardous properties so people can relocate without losing all the money they've tied up in their home. Now that they've had major flooding for 3 years in a row, Figgis says the risk of staying is just too high for her and her partner, and they can't find an affordable place here in Juneau. So they're hoping for a buyout that will let them start over somewhere in the lower 48. In 2024, nearly 300 homes flooded. In 2025, 50 homes were affected, even with the city's temporary levee. So what do you do when a climate disaster hits your home? People living in Juneau's flood zone are grappling with that question. Hundreds of people in Juneau's Mendenhall Valley are living on the front line of a climate change disaster they didn't see coming. From KTOO Public Media, this is Outburst, the story of how a freezing cold disaster has escalated faster than human imagination and public policies to protect people. I'm your host, Alex Solomon, climate and environment reporter at KTOO in Juneau. This is episode 4, Stay or Go. Some residents, like Figgis, feel they have no choice but to cut their losses and leave. Others hope to stay, pointing to investments they've made in their homes and the tight-knit Juneau community. Either way, many Mendenhall Valley residents feel constrained by another major problem facing Juneau, the housing crunch. The city is perched precariously between steep mountains and the sea. More than half of downtown is in an avalanche or landslide zone. Mendenhall Valley is the largest flat area in the borough, and that's because the glacier carved it out. City manager Katie Kester says annual flooding could speed up Juneau's population decline.
This has the potential to be so devastating to our community that it will change the very nature of the city and borough of Juneau. If we lose that level of homes.
And if the tax base shrinks, the city could resort to reducing services for those who stay. That's one major reason the city is pushing for a long-term solution. But in the meantime, Mendenhall Valley families are making choices about their future in Juneau. Some are rooting down deeper, literally.
It's all like super bolted.
After floodwater rose into Sam Hatch's crawl space in 2023, his family drove steel piers 30 feet down into the substrate beneath their house, lifting it up about 4 feet off the ground.
You can see the steel straps around the house now. It's been retrofitted to deal with this. We also have flood openings so that if the area does get wet, it won't be damaged.
He says it kept them dry while they watched water rise into their neighbors' homes on Meander Way over the last 2 years. The price tag, more than $300,000. And their house is still a construction zone, with Tyvek wrap covering the outside. They raised the house the year before the city decided to install a levee in their backyard and charge them for a portion of the construction cost. So now the Hatches are suing the city. The trial is scheduled for September, and if they win, they might recoup some of the cost. At the time they decided to do the retrofit, they felt they had little choice.
there's literally nowhere to go in Juneau.
They considered leaving the house, but couldn't find an affordable place to fit their family of five.
We could walk, but we'll end up in like a two-bedroom apartment, and we'll just be even worse off with no credit and no money.
Many Mendenhall Valley residents feel like they don't have a lot of housing options in Alaska's capital, recently ranked the most expensive city in the state. Lots of people who bought homes near the river years ago are now watching their property values tank. A few blocks over from the Hatches house, the Lori's house looks normal from the outside. But inside, the family has crammed their life into the top story since floodwater tore through the bottom floor last year. We heard that in episode one. The Lori's say it's been difficult to decide how to move forward since then. They explored several ideas, but they couldn't stilt up their house because of the way it was built. Buying another house in Juneau is too expensive, and building a third story on top would force them to find temporary housing during construction. Again, too expensive.
I think you can... You want to flip that light, John?
So they decided to just partially repair the downstairs.
And we had to get new windows because they got busted out.
They also tore out the flooring and replaced the sheetrock. This year, floodwater busted open the storm drain in the gully behind their house, rose up to their foundation, and came close to flooding the downstairs again. But the Lori's are tired of jamming seven people into one story of the house, so they're planning to finish the bottom floor, knowing they might have to do it again after the next flood. Diane Lori cradles a baby as two other foster children play in the living room. She says they feel tied to Juneau. They've been a foster family here for around 20 years. She says it's their way of giving back to the community that has showed up for them.
That's one nice thing about Juneau, is people come around from all over to help, and it doesn't matter if they know you or not.
They have two kids in high school and want to see them graduate here. And their eldest daughter just moved back to town with her husband and newborn.
And I'll be able to spend time with my only grandbaby.
Plus, Diane is watching the housing market.
Well, I think we don't have a lot of choices. Who's going to buy half of a house?
Her next-door neighbors on Emily Way have been trying to sell for more than 3 months. She says they can't find interested buyers, even after they dropped the price by nearly $100,000. Home values in West Mendenhall Valley have dropped more than 10% on average over the last year.
People know the street and that it got hit hard.
The Lori's are worried their home will flood again. A lot of people are. The temporary levee that the city built ahead of this year's outburst mostly held up. It protected hundreds of homes from the record-breaking flood that crested at more than 16 and a half feet. But nearly 50 homes still saw some flooding. The levee leaked in some areas and slumped where the torrent scoured the riverbanks. The river lapped just inches from the barrier's top. Some streets, like View Drive, were left unprotected and flooded worse than ever before. The temporary levee is a stopgap measure meant to protect most valley neighborhoods until the Army Corps comes up with an enduring solution. It's made of HESCO barriers, large metal baskets lined with fabric and filled with sand, which are stacked in backyards along the river. As floodwater seeped through the barriers on Meander Way, Sean Smack tugged a raft down the middle of his street. He ferried diesel jugs to neighbors so they could run generators to pump the water from their homes after power was cut.
Meander Way Water Taxi Service. Once a year, have no fear, you know?
He delivered a jug to Locke and Melissa Brown's house. Water from their crawl space flowed through a bright green garden hose down their porch steps. The Browns are glad the HESCO barriers are there, even though they leaked. This is the third year in a row their home has flooded.
If they weren't here, it would have been catastrophic for us.
It's not as bad this time, but the Browns say they want a long-term solution before they have to sell their home in a few years. Melissa is on active duty in the U.S. Coast Guard.
We're going to be doing this for 5 years in total, and then we're forced to move on military orders. How are we going to sell our house?
After the 2025 flood, city officials estimated that the levee sustained about $1 million worth of damage. They'll have to make repairs and probably build it higher for next year. Researchers still don't know how big the glacial outburst flood could get, but it has grown over the past few years. It reached 15 feet in 2023, then 16 feet in 2024. Now, the record is approaching 17 feet. The city doesn't know how the levee would perform in floods larger than 18 feet. The Army Corps says that a long-term solution is still years away. Until then, hundreds of Mendenhall Valley homes are at stake. For people living there, the question remains: stay or go? Thanks for listening to Outburst. KTOO's news team will continue to closely cover this swiftly developing issue. We'll be on the ground and over the airwaves during the next flood. And we want to hear from you. What are your lingering questions about glacial outburst floods? Send them to us, along with your feedback about this podcast, at outburst@ktoo.org. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon, climate and environment reporter at KTOO. This series was the brainchild of Anna Canny and was funded by the Alaska Center for Excellence in Journalism. I wrote this episode. Claire Strempel, Adeline Baxter, and Lisa Fu edited it. Dave Waldron is the audio engineer. The theme music is by James Crawford and Vance Westlake.